Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer for the Higher Dimensions, and welcome to another edition of our show. I understand we now have another company, a group that comes on before us, and I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful session with them. I think it's absolutely fabulous. I am so glad that things are coming along so well with BBS Radio, and they are a most deserving company, and I really love everybody affiliated with them. It's just, they're just one of some of the nicest people you'd ever want to know. And I thank them, and I am grateful every time I come on the show. And I just want to express that gratitude from time to time, lest they think I become less than grateful and aware of what they are doing in forwarding spiritual, scientific, esoteric, metaphysical information around the world. I think it is a fabulous job they're doing, and I applaud them. At any rate, today we can do psychic readings, or I can do tarot readings if you like. But again, I wanted to emphasize some things that are coming around because of the economic hard times that we are facing. It's been absolutely astonishing to me how things could have gotten so bad so quick, and everybody's running around like Chicken Little saying the sky is falling, and they didn't know how things could get the way they were, and they have to do thus, thus, and so. Well, you know, many people knew for a long while that this was coming. The only thing is, they just didn't want to do it. People lead, and people follow. And the leaders have to bite the bullet and be aware of what's going on. If you don't want to know what the news is, you can always bury your head in the sand. You can always pretend something's not happening, and then end up with this. But, you know, we each of us have, in this great world of ours, our country and the world, global, our responsibility, our individual responsibility. And more it's been brought into me as I've become more awake and aware of what I do and say reflects on the world around me, the family around me, the friends, the business around me, that I have, within my own small sphere of influence, responsibility for the thoughts that I have and the activities that I do, which impact on me and my local community, etc. And part of it is we cannot do things individually and think that there is no consequence of any sort. And consequences do not necessarily mean bad or negative. I know that when we send out love, we attract. One of the consequences is receiving love. When we send out good thoughts to others, one of the benefits, one of the consequences is that we have love coming back to us. When we share with each other, we have a consequence of learning to live and grow with each other. And it's for good and woe. It's our intent, our focus, our purpose, which makes the difference in whether we perceive what comes back to us as joyous and healthy and good and enjoyable and something we want to participate in, or whether it's something we'd just rather climb into bed and pull covers over our head and pretend it doesn't happen. So in the times when we have been selflessly thinking of others and doing for others, we bring great love and caring and joy to others. And when we think only of ourselves and getting ahead and besting somebody else we know or trying to be a little bit more uncaring about our neighbors and selfish, self-centered, we contribute to that negative energy, that band of energy which circles the world. Again, I'm bringing it up because I had thought to talk about something, and synchronicity is everything, or everything this way, this week to me. And again, I'm going to suggest that if you want to call in and ask questions or even participate in this discussion, you can do so at 1-877-876-5227. And feel free to talk, because I do want to participate with others in this conversation. This week, one of the little ones that I deal with lost his battle for life, and I cried. And when I had first gone to the hospital where I work with these sick little ones, I had walked in and went around to the different beds, greeting and seeing them on my orientation, and I looked at this one little one, and I thought to myself, he's not going to make it. And I stopped at the crib of another one and thought, this one's going to make it. And that has worked true. I will tell you, that was a violent struggle for the little one who didn't make it, and a valiant struggle for the little one who did make it. And I think, perchance, in some ways, it was the attitude of the families and the emotional support that was provided that made the difference in their lives. And that's all I can say about it. But that was a part of my observation. And it goes into the fact that what you pour out from your heart, from your beingness, makes a difference. We were talking about last week and before, you can change. You can make the difference. And I was reading a book that I'm going to have the author in, Steve Rial, where he gives an exercise in mindfulness of being aware, and it's the same thing. And he talks about learning discernment. And I had not listened to the word discernment discussed in quite this way. And he talked about discernment really being willing to open up to the voice within, being aware of more or less, than learning to listen and to trust your natural knowing. And like many people, we so often have spent years ignoring our voice, our heart, that when we do hear it, we don't hear it. It takes a while to realize it's our voice. Truth is just being willing to start. That is, you have to be willing to take a start in truth. You have to be willing to open up your life to that area which hurts in order to move ahead and become one. We hear so many of the people coming back from the different wars were so hurt by it and met such difficulty, and we don't have to go hashing it up. But that the fact is, they closed themselves off, the returning warriors. They shut down. They didn't open their hearts. And the more you close your heart, the more you shut down, the more you separate your heart from your mind, the more difficult it is, the harder it is to become a whole, happy person. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there that we just don't want to listen to because it hurts too much. And I do understand that. But then, if you don't open yourself up to the hurt and understand why it hurts and walk through it, it's going to be, well, I called it a boil because I use the medical terms, that gets infected and gets bigger and bigger until one day it bursts open and poisons everything in one's life. In another instance, it could be like a balloon that is filled with air, and at some point it's going to burst because you can only have so much air displacing and taking place and blowing up the sides of the balloon so that you can have so much in there. And then that too bursts. And so we have people in emotional pain constantly, and it is this emotional pain that this ease of one's own heart and comfort that brings about the disease and illnesses we have in our lives. And if we would wish to walk forward in health and happiness, it's important for us to look into opening ourselves to accepting that there is pain, cauterizing it, getting it out, allowing it to come out, understanding it, crying, releasing the pain, and moving on. It's okay to have pain, because how would you know there was something wrong if you did not have some sort of inside bellwether to let you know things are not right? And that's what pain is in our lives. It is the ability to have a portion of your body let you know something is wrong. Edgar Cayce said, everything begins in the spirit. Mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. And this is true. When we are ill in spirit, when our beliefs, when our hearts are in pain and suffering and unconnected, that's when we have issues. That's when we need most to open up. And this is what we can do for ourselves. In loving, unconditional loving awareness, explore who we are and where our pain and suffering comes from, and then we can move forward. And that is a beautiful thing, because once we do that, once we release that pain within ourselves, that feeling, that disappointment, that sorrow, that loss, we can move on with the lessons of life. And we can move on with helping others. And in helping others, we reached into the sharing aspect of it, because that's what we're here for. Again, loving each other and changing what's in our lives is what's the most important thing in this world. It's being one with all there is and bringing happiness on earth. So this Drunk with Wonder book that I have been reading by Steve Reales, and I got an email today from one of my business partners, and he says the same thing. We can change the script in our life. We can change what we think by changing what we have written. And one of the examples is that, and here he quotes According to Albert Einstein and other brilliant scientists like David Bohm, it seems reality is nothing more than the projection of thought. Everything in life that we perceive with our five senses comes firstly from our habitual thinking. Note the word habitual. Something's a habit, we're really not thinking it. We're just doing it because we're used to doing it. This fact that we all see the same things when we are in a group of people means that collectively our thoughts work together. This togetherness of perceiving the same things makes sense, since we know the entire universe is made up of energy vibrating at different rates. Everything in the universe is connected on some level, even though it might seem that way. And what did we discuss before? The vibrational thoughts that you have affect the universe. It affects how you think of yourself, how you feel about yourself, affects people elsewhere about how they think of themselves. You can't get away from it. And although we may view the same scenery or landscape when we are standing in a group, when we walk away from each other, we go back into our own seemingly separate little world. Some of us live in the lap of luxury, and some of us live in total poverty. Some of us are happy with ourselves and our lives, and some of us are dreadfully unhappy and cannot see a way out from the problems that seem to engulf us. If thought is everything, we should be able to change virtually every aspect of our life by simply changing our habitual thoughts. Although this is a difficult concept to prove scientifically, you only have to look at your own life and look at the ups and downs you've gone through to see that this concept seems valid. This person says, I can only speak for myself, but when I look back over my own life, I can see how clearly, when I am thinking positively and optimistically, I have experienced success on so many levels, and I have felt content during those periods. And at times when life has not gone so well, it was my thoughts that let me down, not bad luck or misfortune. It is biographies are written by people who are successful because they become successful. And there's a common theme with all successful people is, and that is they thought about success being a certain area of their life long before and perhaps many years before they became a success. And in other areas of their lives, many successful people found that they were unsuccessful because they did not think they would be successful in all areas. Perhaps they were successful in their primary field, but may suffer in their failures with relationships, financial or other aspects of their lives, which they consider important. Many of these people claim the same story, and that is they never gave much thought to success in other areas of their life other than their primary goal. So if you believe in the concept that everything and thought is everything, you can probably make incredible changes in your life that lead to greater happiness and success. I like the idea that my thoughts do control the outcome of my life, and I feel I have seen enough evidence over the course of my life to know that deep inside, thought is everything. You can substitute thought for love or any other word. And again, you can change what is not successful in your life by saying, I choose to make it successful. And then changing the writing of it, scripting it, literally being the producer of your own life story. And I would say that because as we are here today, more and more are there stories of layoffs, of lack, perceived lack, poverty issues, not spending, people hoarding. All of these things are coming from a sense of there isn't enough. Well, yeah, there is enough when you change your mind to say, there is enough. I just can't see it right now. I wish to change my thoughts, my perceptions, so that I can see abundance. I can see prosperity. I can see relationships working. I can see that I will be successful, not just in one thing, but in every area of my life. I can have loving, successful relationships. I can be a wonderful person. I don't have to be the person I am today. I don't have to be the sorrow that I feel today. We claim in our own language many things that we shouldn't do. When you say, I am sad today, you are exclaiming a particular feeling. I feel. Immediately, you are claiming something. I feel sick today. My stomach is feeling, or I am feeling under the weather, and so forth and so on. Now, sometimes, yes, you are under the weather. You are feeling sick. But years ago, I met this country woman. She was not educated. She could barely speak the King's English, shall we say, properly. But she told me a story about how many years ago, when she was a younger woman, that she became very ill, and she was totally sick. And so sick that she didn't have the money to go to the doctor, and she suddenly looked in the mirror or recognized herself and said, you know something? I don't like being sick. I'm not going to sick again. Since I don't enjoy this and I don't have the time and effort and I don't want to be sick, I am telling my sick, I will never be sick again. I refuse to be sick again. She became healthy, got over whatever it was, and to that day that I met her, 30, 40 years later, she had never had another cold or another flu. She simply told herself she refused to be ill. Now, those are very, very powerful words. We claim things that we don't mean to, okay, by talking about them. well, I feel grouchy today, or I am grouchy today, so today I'm going to be grouchy. Sometimes it's worthwhile to look in the mirror and say, is my name Oscar the Grouch today, or am I happier today? It's very hard sometimes to separate what we feel and our habits from what we can do and change, because sometimes it just seems to take so long to change. Remember, we spent many years moving into the who we are today, the shaping of our personalities, of our thoughts, of our experiences, of our lives, of our belief systems. We have spent a great deal of energy, a lot of it thoughtless energy, after a while, because it's become habitual to feel a certain way. We come, unfortunately, more like Pavlov's dogs, who respond when they hear a bell ring. It's just an automatic response. And the thing about humans is, given our minds, given our capabilities, we don't have to be like that. We don't have to salivate every time somebody rings a bell. We don't have to do something simply because it's the way we've been conditioned to do it. And we really condition ourselves to do it. We buy into the thought that we are not worthy and deserving. Therefore, we walk around with a poverty consciousness. And sometimes, unfortunately, that comes from our parents. We may have a parent who said that we would never be as smart, as pretty, as talented as an older or younger sibling or a cousin or whomever. And so we buy into that myth, and we spend most of our lives thinking that we are not that talented, pretty, attractive, or whatever. And we perpetuate that story. You can change it. In the twinkling of an eye, you can make the decision to change it. Now, like a ship, it's a very large, long-lasting barge that you've had in your life for a long time. And I don't think you can do a 180-degree rotation like you can flip a dime or a quarter and have the heads and tails, depending on how you quickly flip it. It does take time to change because there are so many different layers that have been added to that feeling or sentiment of unworthiness or inability or lack in your life. And, you know, things do take time in the fourth dimension, whichever. And it will take a little time to rework that preconditioning, that habitual response, to the new thought process. Because you'll keep catching yourself as you go along. I've been working on it for years, and let me tell you, I still come up short saying, oi, you know, Phyllis, come on, straighten out. You don't have to think that way. You're slipping back into the thought. And, you know, sometimes we're just not up to snuff, and sometimes we just, want a pity party? And you know, once in a while, you can go in and sit in the corner and cry, suck your thumb, twist your hair, you know, feel sorry for yourself, woe is me, beat your breast. But then, you want to come out of it and dust yourself off and move on again. There are times when the energy is a little changed, but that doesn't mean that you sink right back into the mire, thinking, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, this little bit isn't going to help. Believe me, it's inch by inch, step by step, that you actually achieve your goals. I know that because I am doing the same thing, inching along, trying to achieve my goals. I have come a long way, and it's very amazing to me and very gratifying on some levels that several of my friends recently have said to me that in the last year especially, and the last, since they've known me, maybe 10 years, how far I have come in growing spiritually, in leaving behind the old Phyllis and putting on the new, how my thoughts, which were pretty dark at one time, have gradually changed, and how working over a period of time, I have gradually been able to help others in their darkest hours because I understood from what I had gone through what they are going through. And another thing that is important to realize is as you grow and learn, as you reach forward in life, that you turn around and you lend a helping hand to the person who's coming up behind you. There's a family member of mine who is a brilliant person, been going to college, since Hector became a pup, really in his senior years now, and still going to college courses, still going to classes, still learning about this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, it's so habitual that one day this past year I just stopped and thought, hey, you've had all this training and everything else. What are you going to do with all this education you've gotten? And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, what? I said, are you going to become a teacher? Who are you going to share all this wisdom and knowledge with? What are you going to do with this knowledge that you've gained? And he just looked at me like I suddenly grew two heads. And his eyes glazed over because, you see, he was gaining all this knowledge just to have the knowledge. And while that's good too, the thought of sharing it, the thought of having someone else with whom he would share the knowledge right then and there with a teacher or someone else, but to share it by teaching others, by giving of himself freely to others so they could gain, never occurred to him. And I thought to myself, how often we do that. Sometimes we just get things just to have them. We do things just to do it. But we have no concept of what's really to do with the gifts that we have. And we all have gifts that we can give and share with other people. And when things happen in this world of ours, such as loss of jobs, etc., now is the time to look at how can we share with others. How can we extend to others a way of being with them and helping them move ahead? And it may not just be, it may not be money. It may be just words of encouragement. It may just be a gracious hello, good day. Just a smile. Just a word of encouragement. Even in the anonymity of a crowd, just smiling, you have no idea what a smile can do to someone who is so down, who is so bleak of heart that they can't even summon a smile. And yet, years later, we may find that person will say, at one time in my life, I was somewhere, and this person smiled and said a kind word to me, and it made all the difference in my world. And you've heard stories like this where someone may have been considering committing suicide, where they thought they would just have to leave and disappear, or just give up. And one word of encouragement from another human being made that difference. I'd like to know that I make that difference. And so often, even if I'm feeling down myself, and this is the upside of it, especially if I'm feeling down, I take a deep breath and make an effort to go wherever I'm going with a broader smile on my face, with a more joyous attitude and a cheerfulness. And I find in a very, very short period of time, within maybe seconds, that my mood, where I was so down, feeling so draggy, has changed for the better. And I have lifted up my spirits and see other people smiling, whereas before they did not. And that's powerful. That is exerting personal power on a level that you can see instantly. And that's why I say that what you do makes an impact just a smile, just your intent to smile, can make all the difference in the world to another human being. And we are here to help each other move forward in that joy. And I would like to think that I am continuing to do that also. I have a lot of fun in what I do, and I take joyous pleasure in dealing with other people and working with other people, and I call it playing with other people now. And I know that if I keep that focus centered, I can reach my greatest hopes and dreams again. My first set of hopes and dreams came true, and now I'm working on a second set for life to become a much more participating person in my own destiny, in my own personal finances and loves and relationships. And I have a confidence now born of experience that I can do, and I can do what I want to do. I can achieve my aims, and not only that, but I can have a lot of fun getting there. And that's, again, what it's all about. When you have fun going where you want to go and being what you want to be, it's laughter and it's shared. And it's a precious gift that you can share with anyone, whether it's on the street or in a shopping center or in your own home. And at the home, you know, we manage to dump on our loved ones because we know kind of that we know them well and they feel safe and we can dump on them. But you got to realize that they're not your personal dumping ground. And to love them and be aware of them and to acknowledge them and sometimes just tell them how much you appreciate who they are for being who they are in your life at this time. It's time just to tell them how grateful you are for their being who they are in your life at this time. A couple of other things on that line. I'm not hearing any calls come in today, so I'm hoping that people will call in and share some of their thoughts. But in this, I'm just going to go through another little exercise in mindfulness or awareness. And I would say they're almost all similar in that it's the deep breathing that one is concentrated for. You want to have 15 or 20 minutes to make sure you're comfortable. And take a moment and focus. Close your eyes. And immediately when you do so, all of a sudden, I'll bet that unless you're used to doing these exercises, your mind is going to start having all this chatter about what you need to do, the trash you have to take out, whatever it is, something has to be done. And your mind is going to immediately say, well, here are 1,001 things that you really should be doing. And what you want to do is just observe it. Observe what comes into your mind. Don't think about them. Just kind of watch them like you say, gee, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that, and I forgot about that, and that, and that. And just allow your mind to continue on, presenting you with all sorts of neat stuff that you really don't need to think about at this point. But your mind, having been given permission to relax and let things come to the fore, will start sending you anything and everything you can think of that has been stuffed inside and set aside and ignored for who knows how long. And they could be responsibilities. They could be issues, worries, financial, to-do list, famine, global work, whatever. But don't give them energy. Just observe them the way you would watch, just watch something taking place outside your window like you'd watch somebody walking their dog. And as each issue comes to your forefront, imagine that issue, see it as a word or a picture, floating in a bubble. And just say, not now, and put the topic aside. You don't have to worry about it. You can pick them up. You may have, as you work, fewer and fewer issues. And as your mind empties itself of all thoughts, cares, concerns, and distractions, dive into the stillness. You'll notice external noises drift into the background. Internal chatter grows quiet. And you will now begin to notice your bodily sensations. An itch, a gurgle, a twitch. Simply allow them to be and acknowledge the amazing ability you have for monitoring your being. Also acknowledge any discomfort and be grateful for the purpose it serves. Because without experiencing pain, you wouldn't be able to react to the warning it provides. You'll listen. You'll become aware of your beating heart. Now, that's pretty cool when you become aware of your beating heart. At least I think it's pretty cool. And you'll be going to be aware of your heart and your lungs. And you're beginning to become more aware not only of the heart and the lungs, but the sound of roaring in your ears, the sound of silence. And if you're comfortable, be glad. Notice how it feels to experience a healthy balance, to be the owner of such a wonderful vehicle as your body. Notice, too, as judgments come up, and your inner dialogue may say, yeah, but it wouldn't be more magnificent if I could lose some weight, or if I were taller, thinner, prettier, stronger, richer. I don't think anybody says poorer, but maybe somebody does. Maybe more talented. And again, see them for what they are, issues that your subconscious has had under the surface of your conscious mind, which has simply shut them out, except when it wanted to take them out and dust them off. But allow it. Move your focus even deeper into a part of you that is your essence. Notice your breath, the sensation of just being. Be aware that your body guarantees your breath while sleeping, that every cell in your body revitalizes itself without any consciousness. Give thanks to the housekeeping chores that are dealt with below the realm of your conscious mind and trust your autonomic nervous system that will always take care of your body. Trust to use this and sink even deeper. And here you are, resting in your essence, or what would we call a light state of hypnosis or trance, and extends past the limits of your body. Now, you become aware at this point, if you so choose to focus, on how you can feel the space around you. You might even become aware of sounds and feelings and senses that extend beyond you, certainly an awareness of the room and what's beyond the room. Fascinating. And now you can become a part of all that is. You can feel that you are seamlessly moving into and connected with all consciousness, your essence, your energy flowing like a wave upon an endless ocean of being. The ocean has many names: joy, universe, the great Om, God, whatever you choose to have it speak about. That is what it is. Consider this awareness contained in your being and its ability to create art, music, poetry, great novels, philosophy, and sciences. Given the glorious miracles we each are capable of, how much more must be the infinite greaterness of one that is the all that is? The sum total of all information contained in this infinite holographic universe, or multi-universe, exists. You are then a part of infinite awareness. What can you discern or feel through the mind and through the body? What is there that is what you can feel? It is your experience of the moment of your existence. Every cell, every emotion, everything is known and is for you. You may be willing at this point and trust to merge with the sublime ecstasy with this relationship, this deeply intimate relationship with the divine self, the divine within, the who you are, the essence of being you. Set aside your questions and objections and allow yourself to be. What do you feel? What do you discern? Rejoice in the grandeur of this moment. Bask in the infinite wisdom of the choice you are making now. Know that it is your birthright. Allow yourself to feel yourself loved, cradled, supported. Notice your breathing and the sensations of your body. Feel that you have been where it's said in space, no one has gone before, but they have, but not you in this way. It is your gift to you to become a part of the infinite source of all being. Now, in meditation, this is what we would call a meditation. In hypnosis, this is moving into the subconscious or superconscious mind. When you go into your out-of-body experience, you literally travel. This is a natural part of every body's right to live and love and to have joy and have beingness. And it is one of the ways that you can begin to change your life. Because once you realize that you are not just this little space that occupies time and space, this little physicality where you are currently now, but that you are really a part of a much larger, grander space that is the infinite out there somewhere, you can move beyond this into the full joy of being. You can feel the empowerment, the total power that comes with being who you really are. It is because we feel that we have no control over our lives, and especially when you come to things as important as finances in our daily life, that we feel we cannot control our lives, that we are forced to accept what others do and be for us, and we cannot change things. We can only moan. Somebody has lost our money. Somebody's cheated us. Well, that which was first accumulated, that which was first obtained, it's material. It can be replaced. Everything can be replaced, very often, with something much better. So don't mourn what you may have lost, but instead look at it as an opportunity to gain something that you didn't have before, to build yet even higher and higher, and to step forth into a greater and greater place of loving awareness and prosperity. This is what you can do when you are feeling down and losing your job, which many people have, and may still. But there is always another job. The infinite, God, the universe, Buddha, whoever, however you term it, has an infinite source. There isn't a limited number of what you can do or be. It is only our personal thoughts that says there's a limit. Because you have, in the past patterns of your life, felt there was a limit. If you had brothers or sisters or siblings, there was a limit on how much time mom or dad or both of them could spend with you because they had to take care of younger, older, sicker siblings or work or do whatever it is. So you might have experienced a poverty or a lack of enough mom being in your life to take care of all that you wanted to, all the time that you wanted to spend. And that's how lack begins in our life sometimes, through just the ordinary fact of there is not a limitless supply in your little mind as a child, but maybe my brother came along and took mom's love away, and now she loves him more because she's spending more time with him, or his sister, or whatever, or however it may have happened. But you see how easy it is to walk into a belief system that will control your life by thinking there is a lack there of love from your parents or time with your parents, and a resentment that can build because somebody may have needed more of mom or dad's time or attention, and the squeaky wheel got the grease, and you were not such a squeaky wheel. So I'm going to suggest that you look at some of these habits that you picked up of lack being translated into lack of money, lack in relationships, because if you don't have a good relationship with mom and dad, how can you have a good relationship with somebody else? You know, if you can't have a good relationship with your siblings, how can you have a good relationship with someone else? But you can have a good relationship with yourself, and you can start here and now by saying, I want to be my best friend. I want to be the person to whom I can turn for comfort and love, because within you exists the perfect relationships in wholeness by meeting up with the God within, with the universe, with the Om. You have a tremendous powers. I don't know if I am getting this explanation across to you or not, but in this world where there is such sorrow as it is perceived now, where so many people are crying out, so many people are suffering, if they only knew that they could change it by the power of their thoughts, you can stop a war with the power of thought. Gandhi did it with the British. You can do so much with your power. And as more people get together and understand how truly magnificently powerful we as a group are together, you will understand better how life is what you want it to be, because it will become more than what you be. What happens when groups of people come together, like politicians or unions or anything that you can think of, military academies, what have you, when they come together, their individual powers create a greater force. Well, that's true too. If every one of them walked away from a union or from a force or from a job, you wouldn't have a company, you wouldn't have a military, you wouldn't have a farm. If everybody was able to do that, a great deal would change. I mean, just stop and think of the power of the individual and the ability to bring that power to the fore to create what you want. A group of like-minded people coming together can create new jobs, can create new places, can create new homes. We come together with our force of power, and we do literally create with our minds new buildings. Where do you think they come from? Architecture. All of this, it is a group coming together with our minds. Now, we can do this singly, and sometimes it takes a lot longer, and we can do it jointly. So if we, as a people, as citizens, as friends, just in our own community say, you know, we don't have to be this way. We can come together with our thoughts and create what we want in our lives. Then it will happen. It took a great number of people with greed and selfishness and a great number of people not being mindful. Hello, that's us. A great number of people not being mindful that brings it on. Yes, welcome.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
great. I was wondering if you were doing readings today.
Yes, I am. Who's this?
This is Trish.
Trish, yes, I am. I've asked people to call in, and I was glad because I was coming around to my end of my little lecture, and I was hoping somebody would call in. Where are you from, Trish?
Connecticut.
Connecticut, beautiful state. Have you got enough snow up there?
Of course. We can't see that.
I hope you're not one of those who've lost their electricity.
No, no.
Oh, thank God. Well, darling, what would you like for me to do today? What questions do you have? What thoughts do you want?
I'm interested in your thoughts on real estate and relationships.
Real estate in general or real estate for you and relationships?
Real estate, I'm looking to buy a home. Relationships for me.
Okay, relationship. Okay. Do you want to buy a home now? My
yes.
gut feeling is, wait, okay, I think things are going to be coming down a lot more in values. I think there is a tremendous change coming in real estate and the values, and I think everyone is going to benefit from this, okay? It may be time to buy within the next 6 months to a year. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it may be that you will find what you want closer to the summer. And that is my feeling. And
okay.
Were you asking specifically to buy at that time or to unload?
No, I haven't been very successful finding the right property, so I was wondering when I would.
Okay. Again, I'm thinking you're going to come find it within this year. And there's been a reason, because the place that you're going to have to be in, I don't know why I'm saying this, so we'll have to say, Spirit's telling me, the place where you have to be is going to have to be congenial for you to fit into. It's going to have to fit your energy, your vibration, in order for you to accomplish some of the things that you're desiring to accomplish. Am I right?
I guess, yeah. Sounds right.
And when I say this, I mean you have certain goals in mind, do you not? At this time, other than just having a place to live?
Well, it's also an investment.
Yeah. Well, I think that you need to have a place that is going to allow you the freedom, the energy, to be able to work as an investment. And it hasn't, excuse me, really come up yet. And don't become impatient is what I'm saying, because the ability to get more for your money is coming. Right now, if you were to find something, I think it would cost you more than you need pay for it. And I think that you will be doing yourself a disservice if we were to buy it now. So waiting for the right moment is very crucial for you.
Okay.
That way you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck.
Okay.
And it will come. Even though it sounds like it's taken its time, there's always a reason, and you'll know it, because when it comes, you'll say, nah, and you'll find the circumstances around finding it, you'll say, oh, that's why I had to wait. So it'll
okay.
be an aha moment for you.
Okay.
Okay? What about relationships, darling? What is the issue for relationships with you, that you're having trouble with one or that you're looking for someone?
So I just ended a relationship, and I also just had a blow-up with a friend over the holidays.
Okay. Okay. Ending a relationship was probably a good thing, because it was, my feeling is that the relationship was a little bit toxic. It did not provide what you need in your life. And sometimes we set things up unconsciously in order to move forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Don't stress over it. It was not the right time and place for you in that relationship. The friendship one, however, has that been someone who has had a tendency to take advantage of you?
No.
No? They did not. Because I had a feeling, and I don't know why, I had a feeling that the person that you had to blow up with, in some ways, was taking advantage. And maybe just emotionally.
That might be true.
Okay. Emotionally, but not financially.
Correct.
Okay. Taking advantage of you emotionally, because that's what I felt. It felt more like a manipulation than a real friendship. And that's something that happens when we don't really feel really happy with who we are ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow that situation slowly develop. It can be very, very subtle. And it's not healthy for us or for the other person, by the way. And I'm sure you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's better just to say, well, that person was in my life to do what? To teach me a lesson. You ask what the lesson is for, because everybody in your life who has any significance whatsoever is there to help you grow. And what is the lesson you took from that? That's what you have to answer for yourself.
Right.
As for other relationships coming in, now's the time to look at yourself and say, what do I want in relationships? How do I wish to be treated? How do I wish other people to treat me? And what am I going to do about it to make sure that this is what I have in my life? Here's where you take charge of changing the script in your life that you like or don't like. Embellishing and building on that which you have that pleases you, and removing that which you don't wish to have in your life. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So my feeling is, in friendships as well as loving relationships, it's better to really set down, I don't know if you've tried this, some people have, what you want in a relationship with a partner or significant other, and just write down the list of what you do want the person to have. And, if you want to put down the color of hair, that's okay, too. But that's getting a little bit much in my book. But okay, if that's what's important to you, do it. But what you want and don't want them to exhibit, and the traits that you would like them not to have. And then sit down, by the way, and write about your traits. What are the traits that you think you have that would bring about a good, loving relationship, caring relationship with another human being? Do your traits build up to the expectations someone would have of such a relationship with you?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And see if it does not lead to bringing into you, because now what you've done is this. You've created the energy, the mindfulness, the awareness of what you want. You've scripted it out. You've written a script, okay? You have created a character, a personality. And somewhere in the university, there is somebody vibrating to that energy, that description. That person exists somewhere, okay? But are you vibrating on the level that would bring that person into your life? Are you both vibrating to the same script? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And by writing out what you feel about yourself or how you would like to change yourself to perhaps you might see, well, in this area, I could certainly use a little bit more tweaking and turning. And in this area, I could see there's a place for improvement in how I handle myself in this situation or that situation. I can see, where it would behoove me to be a little bit more flexible. And I'll tell you why. There was, I went to a hypnotherapy conference this past summer, and it talked about relationships. And it was really funny, because the teacher was saying, well, look at relationships, and how you want them to be. He said, now visualize the perfect person, et cetera, et cetera, and how you would like them to fit into your life and how you would like to have things go. And then he said, now reverse it. Visualize this person and have yourself look at what you are willing to give up to have this person in your life, how you are willing to change so that this perfect relationship with this other person could come about. Okay, I'm sorry, but does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got to wrap it up. I didn't realize I went over. Forgive me for going over. I am wrapping it up. I hope, call next week and we'll finish it if we need to, okay?
Great. Thank you.
God bless you. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much, and my apologies. Have a good week. Bye-bye.